I believe over the weeks and months ahead, there's going to be some changes in the way Christians communicate with each other and how we interact with each other, and even where we find our music, our information, and our news.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
For those of you that have listened to this new program for the past few weeks, Truth to Ponder, or remember my radio show and still listen to your weekend show, you know that I've spent a lifetime in radio and a pretty good number of years even in ministry. By the guests that I've been having in recent times, we're looking at this changing world around us, where it's going to be more difficult for people like me to be able to get on the radio or using some of the tech tyrant platforms like, YouTube, maybe Facebook Live. Increasingly, those who are people of faith are going to find it more difficult to express our views because these views will not be considered mainstream. In our church culture today, we have a lot of what I call Christians in name only. And those churches, because of the pandemic, may not survive because they're finding out they don't need their church, or their church was never feeding them to begin with. But the true church, those that truly believe, are about to come into a time. I just can't see anything else. This is just my opinion. I'm not going to be a prognosticator, but if you look at the world around us, you look at what happens on Facebook, it's going to get more difficult as the days and weeks go ahead. I read an article from Australia this morning how if you are a clergy person, they're observing if you're doing in-house worship services. They have locked you down. And we're talking about a country that has virtually no numbers with coronavirus, but they're basically stripping away the freedoms. And someone used the term, this is worse than being in the wrong side of Berlin on the east side of the wall in 1961. Big Brother is watching every move you make. My guest today is Chris Arnzen. He is the founder of a radio program called Iron Sharpens Iron, which can be heard on a number of outlets. And it's just somebody that the Lord has put into my path, and I want to get to know him, and I want you to get to know him better. So, Chris, welcome to the program, and let me start with this question. What gave you this idea for this radio show that you now do? 2 hours a day live, by the way. 2 hours a day. What gave you the idea of doing the program Iron Sharpens Iron, and a little bit about your career?
Well, I was working for 15 years as an account executive for a major New York City radio station, mm-hmm. WMCA 570 AM, mm-hmm. and
know it
their
well.
Sister station.
Mm-hmm. Remember that station well from my youth in particular,
yeah,
when it was home of the good guys. I'm showing my age now.
That's right. And they actually revived that slogan. I don't know if they are currently still using it, but they did mm-hmm. revive it while I was working there.
Mm-hmm.
And also the sister station I worked for, 970 DJ, WWDJ.
Mm-hmm. Know it well,
the
too.
Letters.
And it became a Christian radio station in the 1970s, as I remember, about 1973, 74, somewhere in there.
You mean WWDJ?
Yes.
That is possible, because WMCA did not become a Christian station until 1990, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's about
and
right.
And they are both owned by the largest Christian radio network in the world, Salem Media.
Mm-hmm. And so you started your program about how many years ago? 15 years ago now? Or you worked for them for 15 years?
No. I worked for them for 15 years, mm-hmm. and I also caught the bug while working for them. I started working for them in 1991.
Okay.
So I left there to start my own ad agency in 2005 area, mm-hmm. 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I had already caught the bug to host a radio program because the late Andy Anderson, who was the in-house talk show host at WMCA.
Yes.
He knew that I was a voracious reader, was very interested in theology, and had quite a number of friends who were authors and so on. So occasionally he would ask me, do you have any idea for a guest for tomorrow's show? And I would say, yeah, definitely. And that became more and more of a habit. Andy became to love this relationship because I would write all his questions for him.
Yeah, well, see, that's one of the things you have when you're a one-man shop like I am, and I think you probably are or were for at least for a while, prepping, finding the guest, and trying to get him on the air, the questions. People don't realize how many hours just to prep a radio show it really is.
That's absolutely right. And so I already had the bug. And in fact, when Andy would go on vacation, he became so trusting of my discernment, mm-hmm. and he knew I had a good radio voice, so he started to ask management, hey, why don't you have Chris Arnson fill in for me while I'm away?
All right.
So I started filling in. Mm-hmm. And then I would fill in when he got sick and so on. And sadly, Andy did go home to be with the Lord. He had, I believe it was bladder cancer. Mm. And it was a shock to all of us because he hit it well. He died only weeks, a handful of weeks after he made it public. Mm. And I think he might have even hosted the show up until like 2 weeks before he died.
Wow.
But anyway, when he passed, my general manager said, why don't you fill in for Andy for a couple of weeks until we find a permanent replacement?
All right.
So that really enhanced my enthusiasm for hosting a radio show.
Yeah, especially with a signal that covers, you know, the metro New York area like that station does.
Yes.
Those 5,000 watts in the Meadowlands has a lot of coverage.
Yes, there is a population of over 19 million people in the coverage area. Mm-hmm. Of mm-hmm. course, being New York City, this highly populated area. So I eventually, in 2005, I left WMCA
mm-hmm.
and launched my own ad agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to contact local Long Island radio stations, because I lived on Long Island at the time.
Right.
To add them to my portfolio so I could sell airtime for them as an independent agent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little Christian radio station in Babylon, Long Island, called WNYG.
Mm-hmm.
And they had also a sister station right in the same building, WGBB.
I remember those.
One was 1440.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one was 1440 and one was 1240.
AM. Yeah.
And so I showed up at the radio station one day because I wanted to speak with the general manager,
mm-hmm.
Phyllis, to pick her brain about me selling airtime for them as an independent agent. And standing there in the lobby speaking with her, within 5 minutes or less, she said, you have a really good radio voice. Did you ever host a radio show before?
All right.
And I said, well, I've filled in very often for Andy Anderson at WMCA, and I also filled in for him for the 2 weeks following his death,
mm-hmm.
and have also done other special programs that clients sponsored and so on. So yes, I am experienced in that. And she said, well, we got the 2 p.m. slot open. You want it?
So,
I said, let me think about it. I'll pray about it for a week or so, and I'll get back to you. And I already knew immediately that I wanted to do it, but I mm-hmm. just had to think things.
Well, yeah, you know, and I know there are times that we in the flesh want to do something because it sounds very egotistical. It really feeds our egos, let's be honest. I mean, radio does that. And you get an offer like that, man, my own radio time on a station out here in Eastern Long Island, the population, it's a different world, and it's a lot better than being in New York City. Yeah, I can see me saying yes or wanting to say yes on the spot. But there are times that the Lord says, but ask me first. And we have to, you know, get that peace in it that's beyond our own understanding. And so I get it, wanting to have some time before you commit.
And the humorous thing is, on the very first day of the show, my general manager, Phyllis, immediately knew that she hated what I was doing. She, during a commercial break, burst through the door of the studio. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm hosting a talk show. Yeah, but all you do is talking. You're just talking and you're interviewing somebody about religion and theology. And and I thought you were going to be like putting some music on and giving the weather reports and giving the update on the latest sporting event. I'm like, what? You want a DJ? I said, you want a DJ then? You don't want a talk show host. And I said, and then to be perfectly honest, I hate the music that you play on the station. She was livid. And she said, I don't think this is going to work. And so what made it worse, she let me keep going. And then I can't remember how long it was into the hosting the program. And it was she miraculously let me stay there. And my brother got married, and so I went to the wedding reception, and I asked a friend of mine, a pastor, to fill in. And he said, I don't even know what to talk about. What should I talk about? And I just, off the top of my head, said, well, Joe Olstein is the pastor of the largest church in the United States. Why don't you do an expose, a critique of Joe Olstein's ministry? And I'll even contact them to let them know that you're doing this in case they disagree with anything you're saying, and they can call in and so on. So it was a call-in show.
They could rebut.
Yes, and so I return the following Monday after my brother's wedding reception, and Phyllis has tears in her eyes. She is enraged, and she says, come in here, and I go into her office, and she said, how dare you let those friends of yours degrade my favorite pastor in the world, Joel Osteen. I said, well, degrade sounds like a harsh word. I said they were doing a critique of his ministry because I happen to be theologically opposed to many things he believes in. And I'm not going to betray my conscience before God. I'm not going to betray God himself and his word.
Absolutely.
So I said, let me listen to this show. And he, by the way, did the show with a guest on the phone, renowned Christian recording artist Steve Camp, who is actually a Calvinist, just as I am, and just as my friend Jim Capo, who is the fill-in host. I listened to the program. There was nothing over the top. There was no ad hominem. There was no mockery. In fact, I thought that they were going a little bit too much overboard to assure the audience, well, at least Steve Camp, to assure the audience that he believed that Joel Osteen was a brother in Christ and just had some serious disagreement. I don't even know if I would go that far myself. As far as I wouldn't agree with that.
I wouldn't either. I have a problem with what I see coming out of his mouth theologically as well. It all sounds good. It all sounds wonderful. It all sounds like we're going to all have a great life together here on this earth. It's more like a life coach, not a family of God. If that makes you follow the difference. It's like we come here to get a pep talk to be able to survive in this world, because Joel Osteen says that everybody is special and everybody can achieve. Everybody. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere, but he does every day. And and he's got the money to back him up. I mean, coming in, he's got his own satellite channel now. He's got all these venues, and people are coming to him as their life coach with kind of a spiritual overtone. So it, yeah, I get a good dose of a life coach, and somehow when I die, I go to the sweet by and by. And I find that a very dangerous theology.
Yes, and he's also salves the consciences of the unrepentant.
Mm-hmm. I want to take a moment. Go ahead.
Good, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We have one of the problems we have is a delay occasionally on this line. So we, people who are listening, we're not interrupting each other. It's just that there's that 1 second delay, and every so often it catches us. So I may be talking, and it sounds like you're interrupting or I'm interrupting you, and that's really not the case. But I want to remind people, you're listening to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. The website, truth2ponder.com. That is truth2ponder.com. Would love to hear from you. So getting back to where we were when we left off just a moment ago. All right, so you're doing this talk show out in the far eastern part of Long Island. And so
actually it would be western Suffolk County.
Mm-hmm. So in Suffolk County, but yeah, well, when you live in Hicksville, that's way out on the island. Or if you live in Manhasset, you're way out on Long Island. I mean, it's 120 miles long, and anything beyond 30 or 40 miles is way out when you lived where I did. So, but
well, I think you get about at least 100 more miles before you hit the end of Long Island from Babylon.
Yep.
So I almost lost the show. The general manager, Phyllis, was infuriated, said, "I don't think this is going to work. You really upset me very badly. You better not ever do that again." And I said to her, you can't dictate to me what I'm doing on this program, or we will have to part company, because I'm not going to have you dictate what theology and doctrine I have taught or refuted. I can't work that way. She tolerated me. But then a day came when she instantly fell in love with my program, no matter what I spoke about. That's the infamous day that my engineer on the other side of the glass, who was also the screen caller, Wally, way back Wally, who had a long history in radio going back to the 50s, Wally all of a sudden has a look on his face that he just had an utter look of shock on his face. And he holds up a piece of paper to the glass and he says, "You have a call from John in Dublin, Ireland."
Okay.
and that was the day that my general manager really realized that I put that little tiny 1,000-watt radio station on the map. Because that began a steady flow, because we were live streaming. So we were heard all over the world, and that began a steady flow of calls that were coming in from Sweden, from England, from Germany, and all over the United States. In fact, I don't know why, but it wasn't until very recently that I got my first listener questions emailed to me on my current show, which I no longer do call-ins, I do email questions. But I just recently got listener questions from Alaska and Hawaii. For some reason, when I was working at WNYG, I got all of the other states represented by listeners. But those are the two states that I'd never heard from anybody. But Phyllis fell in love with the show. I could do no wrong. She could care less about what I spoke about. She just knew that that station became important, just because of the fact that they knew they had global listeners.
Well, yeah, that would. And this is back, what year was that, roughly?
That would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of 2006. So it was very earlier on.
Yeah, I was going to say, streaming radio was not even a big thing back then for most people, and we didn't have the smartphones to play these things on, or the apps, or the pop-up players, all the things we do today to make it more, you know, palatable. we didn't have back in 2006. So that meant you actually had to sit by your computer with the speakers on to listen to what you were doing.
Well, the interesting thing is, in spite of what was modern technology in regard to the streaming, the studio equipment could not have been more recent than the late 1960s.
Well, you know, a lot of radio stations, especially some that I've seen in not too distant past, there's a lot of radio stations that you feel like you're stepping back in time that still had turntables and tape players and stuff like that that we don't generally use anymore. But yeah, I can imagine a legacy radio station in Suffolk County, Long Island, probably had a lot of the same equipment kicking around that they had when they started.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they did. Because those stations actually went back many decades to the golden oldie era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember a lot of those stations well when I lived there as a child in not far from where you were. Well, it seemed to me like a million miles away. That county line was like another world when you went across it, because there were potato farms back in my day when you crossed that line. I doubt it now. I'm sure that all the neighborhoods have been building out as New York City's suburbs keep expanding in every direction, because nobody wants to live in the city and they can't afford to live close to the city in Nassau County, so they keep going farther out into Suffolk County and take an hour and a half train ride, as many of them do every day.
Long Island is an interesting place.
It's got
country, it's got suburb, and it's got ghetto.
It does. I remember it well. And I'm gonna just ask this. When you worked for Salem back in the day at WMCA, which they had their studios in the city, and their tower site, I think, was in New Jersey on the other side of the Hudson River. Where most of the AM stations lived. I'm going to assume, did you drive or take the train?
I was the Long Island station rep. And when I started working there, I worked out of an office that they paid my church, which at the time was Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, later became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island when it merged with another Reformed Baptist church, First Baptist Church of Merrick. But the building was in Amityville.
Right.
And the station rented an office in there for me, and instead of paying my church money.
Right.
They paid in free advertising. I once a week, initially, I had to go into the radio station for sales meetings. Mm-hmm. And that was typically on a Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I had new management come in. One of the reasons I left there.
Yeah, that happens.
New management wanted to micromanage, and they wanted me to come in there from Long Island twice a week. And I said, do you realize you're taking me away from what I'm hired to do?
Yeah.
With all that travel. And I said, you're teaching and coaching newbies, people who have never sold airtime before. I've been in this business since the 80s, and you're wasting my time. I don't need to learn any of these things that you're teaching these people. I mean, this is ridiculous. So that was a drag, having to go there twice a week, commuting from Long Island.
Especially from Amityville. It's not like you're there in a few minutes or like 20 minutes. It can take an hour and a half each way. There's 3 hours of your day tied up just in commuting. Easy. I know. Yes. I've done it. I've made that trip numerous times from Patchogue. So I came in that same train line you did that comes through Hicksville. And then you have to, and then through Jamaica Station and all that goes with it. So I remember those days well, and it's one of the reasons when I was offered a job in New York City back in the 1990s, and I thought about it, the money was great, but the commute was going to age me 20 years in five, literally. And I decided I'm going to stay right where I am in Georgia. I may not make as much, but life is so much better than what I would have been putting up with in New York. I would have been living in Long Island with tower sites in the Meadowlands and one at the World Trade Center. So maybe it was a good thing I didn't go. So, I remember those days well. So you ended up, so continue, you were there at Salem and decided the time had come, I guess, at some point.
Yes, and I had enjoyed a very lucrative career there.
Mm-hmm.
I was always number one or number two salesman every month, especially when you consider the fact that my sales manager and another colleague, mm-hmm. who were my rivals as far as the either bettering me with more sales or at least coming neck and neck with me, they inherited much of their business, especially a colleague who lived in New Jersey, who they basically every time a big account was left unoccupied because somebody either quit, mm-hmm. or was fired,
right,
they would give it to this individual. So therefore, mine was really from my own, mm-hmm. blood, sweat, and tears, my own work. But it was a valuable experience. I got to meet and become friends with many people in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
and people who were authors and all kinds of well-known Christian scholars and so on,
mm-hmm.
which may not have ever otherwise happened. In fact, my dear, precious late wife, Julie,
mm-hmm.
Back in the early 90s, she said one Christmas season, "You know something, you have more friends that are pastors than anybody that I know. Why don't we every Christmas start, mm-hmm. a new tradition,
right,
where instead of buying each other Christmas gifts, why don't we use that money to treat your pastor friends to,
right.
a lunch?"
Mm-hmm.
And this became the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio annual pastor's luncheon that still exists today in memory now of my wife.
Right.
And they started out, I think my first one, I had maybe 30 pastors show up. It was at the Outback in Lindenhurst, Long Island.
Yep.
My pastor,
mm-hmm.
at the time, Mike Gadash, was the speaker. And I got a handful of publishers to donate books to give to the pastors. And that grew and grew until each pastor at subsequent luncheons were leaving with big, heavy sacks of,
right.
free books. I got more and, mm-hmm. more publishers who generously donated books, and more pastors came. So eventually I had to get corporate sponsorship for this because,
right.
I had arrived when 100 or more pastors were showing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So you've been doing this, so the radio show, it was launched, I guess, in essence, in the radio station in Long Island. And
yes.
Now you're also on a streaming radio station, and that's how I think I discovered you. First Love Radio.
First Love Radio.
First Love Radio.
Yeah, firstloveradio.org.
And you've, yeah. been, how long have you been doing the show with them now?
Let's see. Well, I relaunched. My wife passed away in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I took 4 years hiatus.
I understand. I can understand. I lost my first wife in 2004. And there was a, shall we say, a very strange period of time that I kind of bounced from one thing to another just during the healing process and got away from my first love for quite a while. So I understand that.
Yeah, I was in no mental condition to continue hosting. In fact, I am not too shy to admit to your audience that I had also, during the sickness and subsequent passing of my wife,
mm-hmm.
had returned like a dog returning to its vomit. I,
yeah.
returned to the sin that I abandoned when I became a Christian, and that is excessive drunkenness, unrepentant,
mm-hmm.
drunkenness,
mm-hmm.
to a very severe extreme. So that was another reason I had to step down from hosting the show, and I was under church discipline, and I obeyed my pastors mm-hmm. in everything they insisted upon, and I went to a Christian rehab or recovery ministry mm-hmm. In Boone, North Carolina, called Hebron Colony Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I can't stop singing their praises. The website's hebroncolony.org. And in the beautiful mountains of Boone, North Carolina. And I completely was recovered by God's mercy from the addiction of to alcohol, and have never even, believe it or not, and then this is not the case with every person, but for some reason, in my situation, I have never even wanted a drink ever since leaving that place. And that was in 2011. But after being restored to membership and good fellowship, and with the blessings of my pastors, I relaunched Iron Sharpens Iron Radio after relocating to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which I needed to do for my own mental health. It was too mm-hmm. depressing to remain on Long Island. I saw yeah. my wife mm-hmm. everywhere I went because we were foodies. We loved to go to restaurants, and we just... I mean, we traveled all over Long Island, dining at the nicest places when I was making good money.
Our guest on the program today, Truth to Ponder, is Chris Arnzen, who is a radio talk show host of a program called Iron Sharpens Iron. And I want you to get to know him. That's why he's on the program today. And you're going to hear from him as we go forward in the future. Right now, we have got to take a break here on Truth to Ponder. Don't forget our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. We will return.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. So glad you're spending some time with me today. My guest in the program, the entire program, is Chris Arnzen. He is the host of a program called Iron Sharpens Iron. He is one of those radio people like me that somehow, even in this day and age, God still uses. When we went to our break, I was talking with Chris about his career, and we're going to go to 2015, where things began to change for him as he started launching this radio program again after a very difficult period in his life that we talked about, losing a wife, and now restarting this program. Chris, kind of get us up to date. You moved from Long Island to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, so let's pick up when you got to Carlisle.
But before I even moved to Carlisle, the management of a local Christian radio station mm-hmm. had already told me that they wanted to air my show. And so that was actually one of the influencing factors mm-hmm. that convinced me to move to Carlisle.
All right.
But then... when I started to actually go over the details with the management there, and I mm-hmm. said, well, there's got to be some things that I would require for this show to work.
All right.
Number one, I'm going to need your station to begin to live stream.
Right.
So that I have a global audience.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio is just going to need some minor improvements. I just need to have a incoming phone line mm-hmm. for out of area guests.
Right.
An incoming phone line for listeners
mm-hmm.
to call in with questions, and at least two more mics for the studio for get co-hosts and
right.
guests that are mm-hmm. in the studio.
Yeah, the normal stuff.
So they said, well, you're going to have to pay for that. And I said, excuse me? And then they also said...
Let me stop you right there. For those that do not understand the radio business, this is not the exception in the majority of stations that I've had to deal with over the years in the United States, AM and FM stations. This is almost the rule. It's the strangest industry when you get outside of the major markets. They count every penny. I mean, every penny that goes in and out the door is watched like a hawk. And so when you're saying this, I'm thinking about the number of radio stations that I've had to deal with that, especially from an engineering point of view, where they're trying to cut corners. And then they complain about what they got when they spend too little. So, yeah, I get it. And I'm thinking to myself, I could never do a talk show without the phone lines. And if somebody's in the studio, what are we going to do? Share a microphone back and forth? And it just doesn't work.
Right. But
so they did they relent, or did you have to pay up, or did you just say, forget it?
Well, the straw that broke the camel's back was that one of these individuals in leadership at the station said to me, just make sure you don't talk about doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, excuse me? He said, just make sure you don't talk about doctrine.
All right.
I said, what are you talking about? I said, every time you talk about what the Bible teaches, you're talking about doctrine. I don't even understand your statement here. Your rule, it makes no sense. I said, did you ever listen to my show? My show is all about theology and doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about interviewing theologians and scholars and pastors and authors. You know, what did you think I was going to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, obviously this isn't going to work out. So a friend of mine, Pastor Ron Glass, who was at the time pastoring Wading River Baptist Church on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
Who had always loved my show. He loved being a guest on my show
right.
when I was broadcasting
mm-hmm.
out of Long Island. He said, Chris, you've got to get back on the air, and you let me know what it takes to have a studio in your own home.
Right.
And what it's going to take to have this live streamed so that we can get you launched again. And he and a deacon at another church
right.
on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
was a wealthy business owner. They both pooled their financial resources and got me everything that I needed.
Exactly.
And so relaunched the show in 2015.
And that's only
out of my apartment, which is in a historic parsonage, 19th century parsonage.
Wow.
Of George Norcross, who was quite a prominent Presbyterian minister in the 1800s and early 1900s. And I have these really powerful quotes. In fact, I have a quote by him from a book that he wrote, which was really a book including the sermons, the written sermons of everyone who preached at his Bible conference that he had at the turn of the century on the Lord's Day of New Year's Eve in 1899.
Mm-hmm.
And his sermon contained a warning to the Presbyterian Church that traitors within were going to do what they could to destroy the church, but Christ's church shall prevail, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I had that framed with a photograph of George Norcross that I found on the internet, and I had all printed up and framed. But that's where I live, thanks mm-hmm. be to the mm-hmm. grace and mercy of God, and this
right.
beautiful 19th century parsonage, and that's mm-hmm. where I conduct the radio show.
Now, a lot of people are listening and saying, okay, so far this program, you've had this guest on, Chris Arnzen, and you've been talking about the radio business and about your lives, and a lot of people enjoy that. And so they're saying, so why is he on your program today? And I'm going to kind of explain in a moment. And because of the nature of what we do here in on the program Truth to Ponder. First, by the way, the website is truthtoponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Chris, I am one of those people, and I think you're probably the same. I do not believe in these huge coincidences. I think that God has a lot of provincial or providential hand in much of what we do on a day-to-day basis. Finding you and hearing your program and seeing what you do, it just touched a chord with me to know that, you know, there's a lot going on in our world today. And one of the things that I do on the program that I host, I'm not trying to be some kind of end time prognosticator, but you begin to look at the world around us, and I'm not going to get into those kind of things, but you have to wonder when you see this mass insanity. The Bible, you know, calls it the reprobate mind. And you see the reprobate mind functioning in government. The reprobate mind is moving into education. Something is going on. You look at Australia right now. If you're a minister conducting services, they're now monitoring you. You are locked down. You can't go but a certain distance from your home and only 2 hours a day in parts of the Western civilized world because of the coronavirus. And nobody's really getting infected there. So it makes you wonder, what is going on? Something is happening. I don't know what it is, but I know that as Christians, we need to be more prepared, I think, for most of us than we have been. We take things for granted. If you and I were having this conversation, oh, I don't know, let's say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there was no hostility to starting a new church. New churches were being built everywhere. But today there's this new hostility toward Christians, the tech tyrants. I mean, the kind of program you do and I do, we're not going to be the favorites of the tech tyrants like the Googles or the Facebooks or the YouTubes. I mean, we'll say something that'll get them mad. There's no doubt about it.
And let me tell you something. We are definitely not the favorites or even come close to it by the dominant evangelical media.
Yes.
In fact, I was offered, after my show was demonstrating that it had a growing audience, I was offered a talk show at WMCA Radio, and after I'd already left there. And the program director said, I want you to come to New Jersey, which is where they were located at the time. They have since moved back to the city of their origin, New York City. But they were in, at this time, Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey.
Right.
He asked me to have a meeting with him about getting my show on WMCA. And he said to me, that is the program director, we really want to give you a shot and give you a show because you've demonstrated that you have experience doing this. You seem to know what you're doing. But I'll tell you what, I hate your show. I said, excuse me? I said, yeah, I don't want you to do your show on our station. He said, you interview a theologian for an hour, and at the time it was only an hour long, the show.
Right.
And it's two currently. He said, you interview a theologian for an hour? Boring. He said, first of all, I hate interview programs. But if you have to do an interview program, you've got to start doing what David Letterman and Jay Leno do.
All right.
You have to get a guest on. And guess how long, he says, your average guest is on the air, on the couch there, on a talk show on national television.
7 to 10 minutes.
No, actually, according to him anyway, it was four.
Okay.
That's what he said. And
well, he's thinking about all the commercials he can put in there. That's what he's thinking about. It's 7 minutes of commercials to 4 minutes of your guest.
Right. And he said, and if they're really fascinating, then when they come back from the commercial break, they'll be on for another 4 minutes and that's it. So you have a bunch of guests having 4 minute interviews. And I said to him, so you mean to tell me that you want to compare what some moron celebrity who has nothing of value to say, who is going to be speaking on nothing more important than an anecdote that happened to him or her on the set of a TV show or movie, you're going to compare that with a theologian who knows the scriptures well and is going to be discussing things that have eternal consequences. You're comparing those two things. And he says, well, I'm just telling you that nobody listens to the kind of thing that you're doing. And I said, what do you mean? I got listeners all over the world, and I'm on a little tiny 1,000-watt station. And he said, no, nobody listens to that. I said, I just keep telling you, we're getting calls from all over the world. Oh, nobody listens. I know the type,
and it's, look, here, this is one of the concerns that I have about Christian radio today in the 21st century. I left the secular radio business in the 1980s, went to work for a Bible college, and I don't want to brag to say that we did everything right, but I would say we did most things right. We were not a contemporary charted music station, if you know what I mean by that. In other words, we weren't out there. We're not trying to sell records for the record companies. We were not doing that. We were very cautious about anything we played on the air. The lyrics better be biblical and not about mankind. It had to be Christ-centered, centered on God, His kingdom, not us. There are two. And today, there's a my favorite line I think I've ever heard. It comes from a website, which I recommend. If you really want to learn something about the faith, go to Lutheran Satire. Look that up.
Oh yeah.
And they have Clint Eastwood.
I've interviewed Hans Feeney.
Incredible stuff. And I love the greatest line when he's reading off the lyrics. A Clint Eastwood lookalike in cartoon form is reading the music of Christian lyrics today. And he's like going, this sounds like my 5-year-old granddaughter marrying her Care Bear and they wrote their own wedding vows. I mean, it's one of the greatest lines I've ever heard. And the truth is, in a bishop friend of mine, he calls it the unchurchy church. In other words, we don't want to be a church. We want to be a club of happy people that come and it's all about us and how we feel. And we enjoy and sway to the music, just like a Phil Collins concert back in the 80s. I mean, this is ridiculous what church has become. And that kind of a weak church, well, they're the first ones to cave and fold when the coronavirus comes along because, well, we can't get together now. And it's I think a lot of those kind of churches will never reopen because of what's gone on. We are seeing a separation in I really believe this. We are seeing a separation of the sheeps and the goats. We are seeing the Christians in name only that really don't have any faith in Jesus Christ. They don't put their faith and their trust fully in Him. They put it in mankind. They put it in a Dr. Fauci or anything else in the world except God. And those churches are going to start failing one by one. And I think it's going to become repressive. I don't know where this is going to lead, but when you look at what's happening in Australia, it gives you a foretaste of what I believe will come, perhaps even in our lifetimes. So I'm just a believer that you and I and others around this country need to find the new platforms that we control that we are not being controlled on, whether it be radio, whether it be even our own private streaming services. We need to develop those now while the time is still there, while the time is available, before it becomes more difficult. We are living in a truly dangerous age. What are your feelings?
No, I agree with you 100%. And just to add one humorous point to that whole story, the program director, when I said to him, well, what on earth do you actually want me to do then? If you want me to host a show on your station, he says, well, the majority of our listeners, as you know, are married women between 25 and 54 years of age with children.
Oh, yes, the prime demographic.
Yes. So basically, I want you to just take questions from our predominantly married female audience. And I want you to help them solve their everyday problems in life, and don't use too much Bible. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, if my wife knew that I was giving women advice on anything, you could hear her laughing all the way from Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, why on earth would you want me to do that? And he says, oh, we don't want you to be a psychologist because that way you're actually liable for the kind of advice that you give. Mm-hmm. We just want you to be like the average Christian guy who gives advice without being too biblical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, so you want me to do a one-man version of The View? That's what you mean to do.
That kind of sounds about right. And not that I would recommend The View to anybody that wants to, that does not want to lose IQ points. You know, just...
Well, believe me, that was not a compliment when I said that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our guest is Chris Arnzen, and glad to have you on the program today. We've been talking about so many topics, even I'm having a hard time keeping up with it, which is unusual. But there was something about bringing you on today to start a conversation here on this program. And I'm hoping to have you on a few more times over the next several weeks. Since I started this program, which airs predominantly on shortwave, a couple of domestic stations, and online, I've been very touched by the growth that we've had. This is a very different program than what we've been doing in the past few weeks here on the program. But I just feel that the time is coming that we're going to have to find our own pathways because the world is just going to reject who we are and what we do. I've said in preaching for at least 15 years, the day is coming when Christian radio and programs, will, especially those that are internet-based, may find themselves in what I call the tech ghetto. In other words, you can't be found that easily by Google and others. They're gonna bury us farther down their home pages where we can't be found as easily. We're going to have to work these things out amongst ourselves because I really believe we are coming into a time that we've never seen the likes of in this country. I've never seen such anger people to people. Have you?
No, not in my lifetime.
No, and there's something grotesquely wrong, and that's why I'm going to try to get you back on. Before, we got about a minute left here. Tell people how they can find you, the radio show you do, because you're streaming, and you also archive your programs as well. And so tell them how they can find out more about the kind of radio work you do and your show. Where can that all be found?
IronSharpensIronRadio.com. IronSharpensIronRadio.com, and mm-hmm. if they want to listen live, all they have to do is click live stream it, mm-hmm. and we are broadcasting live 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through
mm-hmm.
Friday,
mm-hmm.
and if they want to hear past programs, all they've got to do is click on podcast past shows,
right,
and they will see a whole list of our recorded programs, and if they want to find a specific guest or topic, there is a search engine, and all they got to do is either type in the name of the person they're looking for or a word that would be essential for the topic,
right,
and they will get a list of all my interviews that dealt with either that topic or featured that guest that they're looking for. And I've interviewed some of the most world-renowned authors and scholars and theologians that exist. I've interviewed R.C. Sproul, a precious brother now mm-hmm. in eternity with Christ. I've interviewed John MacArthur.
Yes.
I've interviewed Ken Ham.
Mm-hmm.
I've interviewed, as far as your Anglican listeners, I've interviewed Dr. Ashley Null
mm-hmm.
and quite a number of others. Just yesterday, as you know, Bishop
yes.
Peter Robinson.
Good friend of mine.
Episcopal
Very good friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I admire
and
him.
And the list goes on. The list goes on and on. If you click on commendations at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, you will see a very long list of very prominent people who have been interviewed and who will love my show. Paul Washer is another one that comes to mm-hmm. mind. So you could go on and on with the list of folks.
Our guest on the program today has been Chris Arnzen, who is the host of the radio program Iron Sharpens Iron. It's been my pleasure to have Chris on the program today, and I can see, looking at the clock, we're about to run out of time. I want to remind you once again, you know how to find him, but how do you find us? Well, this is Truth to Ponder. My name is Bob Bierman, and here's how you can get a hold of us. Our website is truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. Our mailing address in Georgia is pretty easy, 21 Berkshire Lane, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, and add the number 263. That's kind of our mailbox number here in our little community. That's 21 Berkshire Lane, a number 263 in Sky Valley, Georgia. Sky Valley, Georgia, two words, and the zip code 30537. That is 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, and the zip code 30537. On tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking about funny money and bringing on one of my favorite guests, Peter Gans, who has really followed currency, money, and the kind of troubles we could be facing with all the debt we've taken on in our country and I think even the world. He'll explain on tomorrow's edition of Truth to Ponder.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number two, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.